তাহা দিস পরম বিয়ন্ড ইয়ার উইচ অব্যক্তম আনম্যানিফেস্টেড অবিউঢ় উইদাউট ফর্মাল শেপ গুণ বৃহিতম এফেক্টেড বাই দ্য কোয়ালিটি অদৃশ্য আনসিন অশ্রুত আনহার বস্তুত্বা বিং লাইক দ্যাট সা দ্যাট জীব লিভিং বিং ইয়ার দ্যাট উইচ পুনর্ভব টেক্স বার্থ রিপিটেডলি Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated births. Please repeat after me. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form which is without formal shape and is seen and is unseen, unheard and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated birth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As the gross cosmic manifestation is conceived as the gigantic body of the Lord, so also there is the conception of subtle form which is simply realized without being seen, heard or manifested. But in fact, all these gross or subtle conceptions of the body are in relation with the living being. The living being has the spiritual form beyond this gross, material or subtle psychic existence. The gross body and the psychic function cease to act as soon as the living being leaves the visible gross body. In fact, we say that the living being has gone away because he is unseen and unheard. Even when the gross body is not acting, when the living being is in sound sleep, we know that he is within the body by his breathing. So the living being's passing air from the subtle body does not mean that there is no existence of the living soul. It is there, otherwise how can he repeat his birth again and again? The conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existent in his transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle like that of the living being. His body is never to be compared to the gross and subtle bodies of the living being. All such conceptions of God's body are imaginary. The living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination. Govinda, you don't have a Russian Bhagavata? They don't have a single copy in India? Where do they have? Do they have one in Bombay? Do they have a set in Bombay? In Bombay, do they have Russian Bhagavatam? In Bombay, in Mumbai. You are going to get it from Moscow? Then where will you get it from? Oh, yeah. Atap param jadak vaktam obdued her guna brahm guna vinhitam adrishtar shuta vastutvat sa jiva jastunarbhava. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without form or shape and is unseen, unheard and unmanifest. The living being has this form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated births. So here, after describing the different incarnations of the Lord, now Krishna is the source of all incarnation, another point is actually being made here, that is the identity of the living entity. The living entity's identity is actually beyond that, beyond the gross and subtle material manifestation. The gross manifestation of the material nature can be seen and heard, touched, but the subtle manifestation cannot be seen or heard. And unseen, unheard and unmanifest. The subtle manifestation is beyond our gross sense perception. Like for example, we can see the body, but we cannot see the mind. We can see earth, we can see water, we can also see fire, but beyond fire there is air. The air cannot be seen, but air can be touched. We have with our touch sensation, we can feel the air. And even beyond air is ether. Ether, the presence of the ether can be experienced through hearing. You can hear the sound which is in ether. So up to these five gross elements, we can see and hear and even touch and feel. But beyond that is the subtle material substance. Those subtle material substances are mind, intelligence and false ego. So these three we cannot see. They are not actually manifest. They are not perceivable. But the point that is being made here is that the spirit soul is even beyond that. Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya param mano manasastu parabuddhe ja buddhi paratastu sa. Indriyani parannahu, the senses are superior to the body. Indriyebhya param mana, mind is superior to the senses. Manasastu parabuddhi, intelligence is even superior to the mind. But the one who is even beyond intelligence, he is the self, he is the soul. And here the point has been made that that soul must be beyond material nature. Otherwise, how can there be repeated birth for the living entity? because the material, gross material senses, gross material objects and the subtle material objects are subjected to the laws of material nature. And the law of material nature is that matter is inert. Everything in this material nature is actually inert. And they follow certain principles. For example, in the material nature, when something is destroyed, then there is no question of that thing to reappear again. Isn't it? Say, if something is broken into ashes or burned to ashes, then we cannot bring it back the material way. But the spirit soul can come back time and time again because the material spirit soul is not subjected to death. At death, the body is destroyed. And the body is burned. And that same body will never come back. But the spirit soul will come back. Spirits will come back in another body. As Krishna is pointing out in Bhagavad Gita, Jirnani Vashangshi Jathaviha. Just as we take off our old clothes and put on a new one. Similarly, the body has been compared to an old garment. Body has been compared to an old garment, and when the garment becomes dirty, then we discard that garment and become a new garment. Similarly, the living entity gives up his old body and puts on his new body. And the spirit soul is eternal and he comes back time and time again until he goes back to the spiritual sky. Now that information has been very clearly explained in this chapter. Or in Srimad Bhagavatam as such, or also in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita begins with an understanding, the difference between body and the soul. And Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many such examples. Like King Chitraketu's son died. Chitraketu at first didn't have any son. And his son, he didn't have any son, although he was a very powerful king, and although he had many wives, but he didn't have any son. So, one day, Rishi Angira came to Chitraketu, and Chitraketu received the great sage, with a lot of respect and reverence. But the sage Angira noticed that Chitraketu's mind was not satisfied, his heart was not satisfied. So he asked Chitraketu, "What happened? You are such a powerful king, you are so opulent, you are aware opulence is like that of Indra. And you are so powerful, you are ruling over the entire earth planet. Then how come there is such discontentment in your heart?" And then King Chitraketu then told him that although he has everything, but he doesn't have any son. And as a result of that, his life has become vacant. And he begged, "Please bless me that I can have a son." So then Rishi Angira suggested that you perform a sacrifice called Putreshti Yagya in order to get a son. So he got the son. As a result of the performance of the sacrifice, king or the son through his principal wife, Krita Duti. But when Chitraketu got the son, he became so attached to the son that he started to neglect his other responsibilities. And also he had many wives, and his other wives also became very disappointed that Chitraketu is spending all his time with Krita Duti, and most all the time he is with his son. And Krita Duti became so dear to him because Krita Duti gave him his much desired son. So then they conspired to kill the son. So this queen gave this little boy poison and the son died due to taking poison. The son died, and Chitraketu was very much heartbroken. All this while he desired to have a son. Finally he got a son, and now the son is dead. So he was very much heartbroken. So when he was lamenting, he tears along with his wife about the death of his son. At that time, Rishi Angida came back again with Narada. And Chitraketu was begging to him, "Please give my son back. Revive, you are such exalted sages, you have such mystic power. So please bring our son back to life." So Narada Muni said, "Okay, if you want, I'll do that." And so he brought the son back to life. But when the son came back to life, and Narada Muni asked him why he left his father, causing them so much pain, him and his father and mother. So at that time this little boy who sat up on the bed, he questioned which father and which mother, from which birth, because I have taken birth so many times. And now that I have been fortunate to know about the Lord by your mercy, please allow me to be with the Lord, to go back to the Lord. So in this way, through this little son, bringing him back to life, Narada Muni imparted a very important instruction to Chitraketu. Now which son, which father, which mother? In this life we have our father and mother, and our father and mother also have their sons. But what is that? How long will that relationship last? Only as long as we have the body. But although the body will perish, we have to leave this body behind, but our soul will continue to exist. And the soul comes back time and time again. It comes back life after life. And that's why this son questioned, which father and mother? Because I have taken birth so many times, so many millions of times, billions of times I have taken birth. So, which father and which mother are you talking about? And in this way, Chitraketu also understood that it's the spirit soul who actually came, assumed a body, became his son, but in reality, he's a spirit soul. So, when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, this point becomes very clear. The soul never dies. Soul never dies. It's only the body dies. And when the body, when does the body die? When the soul leaves the body becomes dead. Therefore, the saintly people do not lament over death and birth. Generally, people in the material nature, they become so happy when they get the sun. And they feel so much troubled when the sun dies. So, they become happy when they get the sun, and if the sun dies, they become miserable. But the reality is that this is only due to some material attachment. It is only due to material attachment. Because we are not situated in knowledge. Because we are in ignorance, we think that way. But Bhagavad Gita is pointing out that dhira-satra-nam-bhujyate. A person who has the knowledge, he doesn't lament over birth or death. Okay, he died, so what? He'll be born again. And maybe it will be better because he'll get rid of this old dilapidated body and get a new body. So it's a better proposal. Just like if somebody, his dress has become old, somebody is wearing a very old, worn out dress, and somebody comes and tells him that, okay, your dress has become old, so you change the dress, I'll give you a new one. So what will he do? Isn't it a better proposal? Instead of an old dress, we're getting a new dress. Isn't it a better proposal? Instead of an old body, we're getting a new body. Isn't it better? Instead of an old car, we get a new car. Isn't it better? Instead of an old machine, an old house, we get a new house. Much better. So that's why those who are situated in knowledge, they don't matter. Just the other day we were discussing about that briefly. That people are creating such a big fuss over tsunami. So many people dying, there's such a big fuss. But actually, if we take the statistics, we will see every day how many people dying. Few lakhs of people are dying all over, isn't it? If we take as statistics, aren't people dying every day? So people died in tsunami, you know, what is so much the big deal? Now they all are going all around making such a big deal. Even when I was in Bombay, I was seeing there's all these movie stars, they are making a campaign to collect money to send in tsunami. Now those who are dead, will they come back? Will they collect their money? And the most important consideration is that why did they die? Why did they die this accidental death? Why? Because of sinful reaction. Otherwise people do not die prematurely. Generally, people live for 100 years or they die at an old age. Why all of a sudden somebody dies due to sinful reactions? And what are the sinful activities? The sinful activities are meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Now are the people indulging in these activities? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. They are indulging in so many sinful activities. Now, won't there be any reaction? They don't know what the reaction is going to be like. People have become so sinful in today's world that there will be a massive reaction. The tsunami will appear to be like a like a carnival, like a party, compared to that. If there is a war, millions of people will die all over the world. And is it surprising? Let us consider the lifestyle of the people. Everybody becomes a meat eater, practically. Everybody is eating meat. Everyone is practically taking intoxication. Everyone is indulging in illicit sex. And everyone is becoming meat. And besides that, so many cows are being slaughtered because of meat eating. So many cows are being slaughtered. Because of illicit sex, so many babies are being aborted. Now these are some very, very heavy sins. And people are indulging them with sinful activities and they expect that they won't be any reaction. That's why those who really want to save themselves should not indulge in this sinful activity. Death will come. Death is not a big deal. Someday everybody has to die. But the thing is, when one develops his relationship with Krishna, then when he dies, he will have a better prospect of his life. One who has developed his relationship with Krishna, after death what will happen? He will have another life which is much better than that. Suchinam Srimatangihi Yoga Krishna Vijayat. And one who has attained the perfection, he'll go back to the spiritual sky. But those who haven't attained perfection, Yoga Krishna, those who haven't fulfilled their spiritual goal. Jaya Shri Shri Radha Madhavya. Those who haven't been successful, then what will happen? They will be born in a sanctified family, Shuchinam. And Srimatam Gehi, in the house of a wealthy person. Shuchinam Srimatam. Now, isn't it better to be born in a very wealthy family? Isn't it nice to be born in a very aristocratic family, a very exalted family? So that will be the reward of Lakshman. What are you doing? You want to sit down? Sit down. So, Suchinam Srimatangi. So this is how a person will be rewarded when he practices spiritual life. Isn't that light enough, Lakshman? You need more light? Pulling around the light.